This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
More analysis of the Republican National Convention. Night number two is in the history books. Some great speeches last night. I think the First Lady definitely by far stole the show. And a lot of case was made for Donald Trump's second term. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in today. If you watched last night, if you have thoughts on the convention, please go ahead and share them. We'd love to hear them from you. 855-839-1210 if you'd like to give your sense of things. Here's just a little montage that our friends over at Fox News Radio put together for us. Just a little montage of the opening night of the convention. The second night of the convention. You'll hear some familiar voices in here, of course. Clip number A.
To those of you who want to stand up and fight the socialist poisoning our schools and burning our cities, join me in supporting President Trump. Let's rebuild America together.
Whether it's providing needed relief to farmers who were the target of China's unfair trade practices, hammering out new free and fair trade deals, or fighting for workers and small businesses who were hit hard by COVID-19. We have a president and a vice president who get things done.
Keep fighting for what is right. You are making America strong again. You are making America safe again. You are making America proud again. And yes, together with a forgotten man and woman who are finally forgotten no more, you are making America great again.
Donald will not rest until he has done all he can to take care of everyone impacted by this terrible pandemic.
Democrats have gone so far left that even Don Lemon of CNN has to admit that most black people don't want to see the police defunded. He said, quote, "I'm going to say this, and I know people don't like it. Most black people don't want police defunded. They don't want fewer police there. What they want, they want more. And most communities of color in this country need police. They may need police more than white communities, okay?" And then there's more crime, as the lesser Cuomo said when he chimed in during their exchange. And Don Lemon said, you know, Democrats need to figure out there are these protests, and then there's riots, and there's a difference. Lemon said, there's more crime. There's more crime in poorer communities. Regardless of what ethnicity you are, and African-Americans, most African-Americans know that. The fringes of the party want that, but most people in the Democratic Party don't want that. What they don't want and what African-Americans don't want are police abusing people. Well, guess what? Nobody wants that, by the way, Democrats or Republicans. Nobody wants that. He says, want us to realize when you're losing an ally and you're starting to turn people off, whether it's real or not, you have to figure out how to fix it. The goal in politics in elections is to do what? It's to win, of course, right? See, once again, because Democrats have embraced the far fringes of the party, and, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot, by doing so, they've alienated so many people. But it's easy to look at the big picture of this and forget that people are individuals and they don't vote in groups. And so an individual black person in a city where there's a lot of crime is going to feel a whole lot differently about the police than an individual white kid in Portland who thinks it's fun to be out there causing all this violence and destruction in the name of the black person in the city, miles and miles and miles and miles away from him. And so what happens is you wind up seeing a bunch of really woke white kids. As the mayor of San Francisco said, you see a bunch of really woke white kids who are out there causing all this violence and destruction. And the black people who are in these cities, they don't want less police, and they certainly don't want this violence and destruction to go on. And the Democrats have not told them to stop. Have you noticed that? Democrats have not come out and said enough. And that was the point Don Lemon was making earlier. Joe Biden's got to address this. He needs to come out and say, stop with the violence, stop with the protesting. But this is the reason why he's afraid to do it. Ready? Because his base, a lot of them are those woke white liberals who think that this is the right thing to do, to go out there and destroy property and to cause all of this in the name of people who are oppressed by the police. This is what they think. Don Lemon's point is, actually, black people want more police. So actually, all those woke white liberals in these cities who are causing all this destruction, it's not at all what people want who are people of color. It's actually not at all what they want. They want more police. And this is the big disconnect right now. And again, it shows you the problem that Joe Biden has. The reason why Joe Biden's going to have such a hard time winning this election is because that same base, if Joe Biden comes out and does a national address and says the protesting is okay, but the rioting has to stop, he's going to upset, believe it or not, a lot of people in his base who think, no, rioting's the only answer. Remember, this is an act of civil disobedience. That's what they believe. And so that's why you don't hear him talk about it. Now, maybe he will at some point, but he's gonna do it in such a way that it's almost going to sound like he's still understanding of the people that go out there and cause destruction of property and ultimately destruction of life and that sort of thing. Like he gets it. He understands it, but he just wants you to stop it. And the truth is, that's because he's completely out of touch with what people really want. And the mayor of San Francisco, when she said that whole point about how these people who are coming to our communities and destroying them, they're not from these communities. That point was very, very important to realize. Turn on the TV and look at all the people in Portland. Look at how many of them are woke white kids. Yeah, Democrats have a real problem right now. They got a real problem. Not only have they managed to turn off pretty much every police officer in this country, they've managed to turn off a lot of people who want more police in their communities. They've managed to accomplish both. It's really amazing when you break it down, when you think about it. As you think about some of the speakers last night, I thought that Nick Sandman did a great job. This young kid who was one of the kids, he was wearing the MAGA hat when they all came after him. You remember in that the whole false narrative that he was being a racist and was attacking this poor Native American man. And then you remember that whole thing. And then you had those awful black Israelites who came out and started screaming at him and saying all those horrible things about him. He just stood there and took it the whole time. And then the media does what the media does, and they all went after Nick Sandman, and he ultimately won a big lawsuit against them. But he spoke last night. He spoke very, very well. Cut 13.
I learned what was happening to me had a name. It was called being canceled, as in annulled, as in revoked, as in made void. Canceled is what's happening to people around this country who refuse to be silenced by the far left. Many are being fired, humiliated, or even threatened. And often, the media is a willing participant. But I would not be canceled. I fought back hard to expose the media for what they did to me, and I won a personal victory. While much more must be done, I look forward to the day that the media returns to providing balanced, responsible, and accountable news coverage. I know President Trump hopes for that too. And I know you'll agree with me when we say that no one in this country has been a victim of unfair media coverage more than President Donald Trump.
855-839-1210. Steve is in Lancaster. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. How are you doing today?
Doing okay, thanks. Did you watch the conventions?
I did. I didn't watch night number one, but I purposely sat last night and dedicated to watch night number two. And in my opinion, I felt that, for me, my wife and I, the top point was Vice President at Lincoln's cabin. These things are optics. You know, you've mentioned that many times before. And I just felt that instead of seeing speech constantly being put up there, which all the speeches were phenomenal, I just felt it gave a change to the flow. It allowed there to be a different optics. And I know, obviously, it was pre-recorded. It was obviously rehearsed in a way, and I'm sure that the respondents knew of the questions that were going to be asked ahead of time. But I'll tell you, they did a good job in making you feel as though it was a candid, sit-down, relaxed conversation between the vice president and these people who had very specific and serious issues that they discussed. And I just thought it was, for me, a nice change of the flow that we had seen, not only in many conventions, but even through last night. That was just my opinion. I also felt that the ex-Planned Parenthood individual, I don't remember her name, but boy, I felt at the beginning part of the convention, she really kind of nailed some difficult optics, again, giving a visual representation to abortion and really allowed pro-lifers to have a voice at the convention. I thought that was phenomenal as well.
Yeah, and in prime time too, you know, which is something to say about President Trump's commitment to the life issue, that he would allow somebody like that to speak in prime time, you know?
Absolutely.
Well said, Steve. I appreciate it, man. I think you're spot on with that. Thank you. 855-839-1210. Yeah, you know, this is a different convention. I just saw former Governor Chris Christie was on with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. And, you know, Stephanopoulos is pressing him on Mike Pompeo's speech and how inappropriate it was. Democrats are already calling for an investigation. And Christie said, look, George, this is a very different kind of a speech because we're all dealing with COVID right now. We're in the middle of a COVID crisis. So the White House is the safest and least expensive place, this is what Chris Christie said, for Melania Trump to speak, for the president to speak. And would he rather be at a rally with 20,000 adoring fans cheering for him? Yes, he really would rather be there. But they're trying to do the right things around COVID-19. They're trying to keep people safe. So they're not having those massive conventions. And so the president and the first lady who live at the White House, you do it there. He said, this is an unusual time. You're probably never going to see this ever again, because I doubt we'll be dealing with, I pray to God we're not dealing with this frigging virus in 4 years, that's for sure, when they have the next presidential conventions. But that's the point. And he's right. You know, this is a different time. So Pence's speech in front of a cabin would normally never happen like that. And all these speeches I'd be there right now. We'd be there live at the convention if it wasn't for the stupid COVID-19 virus. So, you know, Christie's point is a very accurate point on that. It's far safer to just do stuff there than it is to go on the road and do a road show, because they've already got the screening set in place for the coronavirus screening. They've already got all the protocols in place. And ultimately, you don't have to worry about that. If this was any other year and we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, I think a lot of people would be criticizing the use of the White House for these quote-unquote political speeches, or the use of a diplomatic post for political speeches. But, I mean, everybody's dealing with COVID-19 now. It's just a different world. Anyway, that was Christie's point. I thought it was a very, very good point on that. John is in Westchester. John, good morning. Hello. Okay, no, John. Let's go over to Ann is in Chatsford. Hey, Ann, good morning.
Good morning. I think their topics for each night are fantastic, and the opportunity ones last night that they hit on were so wonderful, because you don't hear about them in the news. The medical people who have life because they were able to try medications that otherwise wouldn't have been available, the jobs for people that otherwise their businesses would have been gone under. And I think that it tapped into the speech that Ms. Harp gave Monday night, like how the world would have been different, or our country would have been different, if we never had Donald Trump as president, when they're really highlighting all these things that have changed for people's lives because Donald Trump occupied the White House and took action. I think it's very uplifting. The one thing I'm really disappointed is some of these speeches are so good. It's so strange that you can't applaud them and have a live audience really cheering these people on, because they really have some impacting, compelling stories and really well delivered. Like you said, Nick Sandman was a great example.
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting to wonder how they'd be received with a larger crowd. Would it be as effective? Yeah, that's another question. I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. But you're right. There's those moments where you feel like this could have been good with some applause. And I think it's why the First Lady speech also stood out, is because there were people mm-hmm. there, they could applaud a lot of those lines. And that feels yeah. very real and very authentic. But at least mm-hmm. for me, and I don't know if you feel this way, Anne, I feel like most of the speakers, not all of them, but most of them are speaking directly to me versus addressing a convention of 30,000 people. And so it's more intimate. And I actually think it's more effective in that sense.
true, because I feel like their stories are very compelling, and I think you're right. It seems a lot more sincere and genuine that way.
Yeah, I think so.
And the great variety of people and messages is really well done so far. I think it's dynamite.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, I think that that's the secret to communication in life, whether you're addressing a speaking at a rally, you're talking on the radio, whatever. If you just remember you're talking to one person, because we listen as an individual. We don't listen as a group, even if we're in a group. And great speakers are able to do that, whether they're talking to 30,000 people or they're talking to three people. And what this convention has been able to do for the Democrats and the Republicans is it forces them to have to address you as a person sitting at home watching on your television, because they're not the normally they would structure the speech for 30,000 people. And so sometimes what happens then is as you watch that, you don't feel part of it if you're watching at home, because it's not meant to you. They're playing to the crowd. I think one of the upsides of this and a real conversation needs to be had about, do we ever go back to these big conventions for every night? You know, maybe just do one night of a big crowd, is because, you know, I got the sense that Melania Trump was talking directly to me. I felt that with several of the speakers last night. That is the upside of having to do this directly to the camera thing versus people that would write a speech for applause lines, write a speech for. That's why I thought Kimberly Guilfoyle was not effective, because she was acting as if there was a crowd of 30,000 people there. And, you know, had I coached her, I would have said, just stop. Don't pretend like there's a crowd. Just talk directly to the one person at home watching on their couch. I mean, it's what I strive to do every day on this program, is just talk directly to you. And that's what I think the secret to great communication is in life, in all walks. So you're seeing that play out, which is the upside of all this, I think. Melania Trump, like I said, she spoke beautifully last night. The big story of the day today is the coverage of the second night of the Republican National Convention. Eric Trump will be here at 8 o'clock to give some thoughts. I thought he was very effective last night as well. That big story of the day today brought to you by Hint Water. Hint is real water, just a touch of fruit infusion. It's got real flavors, but it doesn't have that sugar and the saccharin and the other things that a lot of other flavored waters do. Just real water with a touch of fruit flavor. Drink Hint. Go to drinkhint.com or find it at your grocery store, Hint Water. And I want to mention as well, you know, we our wonderful friends and sponsors over at Amstar Medical Transport are dedicated to making sure that you or your loved ones have that reliable, safe medical transportation. Tony, my buddy, along with his sister Marion, her husband Alan, they are the owners of Amstar Medical Transportation. They proudly provide excellent, compassionate service to older patients, those with mobility issues, people facing other challenges. They operate safely and their vehicles are incredibly clean. Their entire staff is respectful. They're going to get you or your loved ones to medical appointments, non-emergency hospital procedures, or even family events. They're a door-through-door service provider. They ensure the patient is dressed for the weather, help them out of the house, secure them safely in the vehicle, help them check into their appointment, and stay with them if needed. They're also experienced at transporting children with special needs. And here's the best part. Amstar Medical Transportation features the best rates in the area. So book online at amstarmedicaltransport.com. They offer discounts to veterans, first responders, and of course, to you. amstarmedicaltransport.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
By the way, Stocker, I know you're a big music guy, and I know you like going to music and concerts. I don't know if you saw that Philadelphia has their new rules for theaters and music venues. Did you read that?
I did not, no. What are the rules?
Well, I have them in my formerly white trash-stained pool, chlorine-stained fingers. And no food or drink will be sold or consumed in public spaces in theaters or music venues. So when they open up music halls again, musicians will still be able to get their drink on backstage before a show, but they won't be able to do it in public. Because, you know, a lot of those musicians like to pound a couple out before they go out on stage, right?
Sure. I mean, I would argue it makes their performance better.
I would agree. Audiences must remain seated and at least 20 feet from the stage.
What?
Yeah, because, you know, you might be yelling at them or something, I guess. Or I don't know. You can't, but no more standing at concerts. No more standing during shows. You got to sit the whole time. So it's going to be much more like watching a symphony orchestra than an actual live show.
I'm not going to any shows until they lift. Well, I'm not going to any shows for the next 4 years anyway.
Yeah, so. Who the hell are you kidding? But performers should wear masks or face shields. When that's not possible, there should be a barrier between performers and the audience. So how are singers going to wear face masks and sing through a mask?
It's going to sound like this, right? It's going to be like da da da.
It's going to sound like they're all mumbling. They're all going to sound like Joe Crocker, I think, or something like that. You know, they're all going to be like having that kind of husky sound.
Yeah.
When it's not possible, there should be a barrier between performers and the audience. So I would think that would just be the easier answer, wouldn't it? Just put up a plexiglass thing.
I think the easier answer is just to not have concerts until this thing, until whatever.
Yeah, but you know, because a lot of these places need revenue. They're dying here.
I get it.
Oh, and a lot also of my favorite people that perform need money too.
Yeah.
A lot of my favorite bands are actually doing benefit concerts for a lot of these music halls to just try and raise money for them because they're so, you know, they're in dire need. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of these places shut down. I think Philadelphia, you know, there might be one or two venues that survive. Other than that, I just don't see how they can, because I think about all the rent or more lease or whatever they're paying on these places and not getting anybody in. You know what I mean? So
now, Dawn, I know that you love Bruce Springsteen, and I know that you love the moments where he and Stevie Van Zandt will have their backs against each other and they'll both share a microphone and sing.
Yes.
Not allowed, because performers should remain at least 6 feet apart from each other during the entire show.
You know what? So. That's fine. I mean, people can do that. People can social distance.
I like
and
to
I
have
think
little
it's
Steven rub my back when I'm singing. I like that. So
I mean,
makes
I think
me happy.
Last night we were out. David had practice, and we're out in these
can I
fields.
Can I talk in this mask? Can I sing in this mask? Can you all hear me in this mask?
I just
I
want
to tell a story about when I was 15 growing up in Jersey.
Wait. Can I say something? Yesterday in your interview with Chris Christie at the very end, did you say that you actually like Springsteen?
I said, I will make fun of Bruce Springsteen, but I like some of his songs, which is true. I've always said that.
Yes.
But I said I'll continue to make fun of him. I did say that. Do you want me to pull the clip?
No, I'm just saying.
Dawn, did you not hear me say I will continue to make fun of Bruce Springsteen?
I heard you.
Yeah, I heard you.
I heard you say it. I'm just saying that, like, you know, Springsteen is.
Wait. So I can't like a couple of his songs, like "Girls in Their Summer Clothes," but also make fun of the guy?
Of course you can. Of course you can. Of course you can. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I feel like I'm up against. Am I the only one on the show that doesn't like Bruce Springsteen?
No, I'm not a fan either. If I matter.
Bill does not like Bruce Springsteen.
Wow.
I think he's overrated.
I don't like his politics. I don't like when he goes on stage and lectures people for an hour and a half. I like a lot of his music, though, but I've always said that.
No, but
I'm not talking about his politics. I'm literally just talking about his music. Like,
You hate his music, Greg, right?
Well, I think that he hasn't really made a good album since 1980.
Which I agree with you. The last stuff he's made in the last, like, 25, 30 years has been terrible, right? 20
years.
Yes,
I mean,
he's ever made, though.
Yeah, I love Springsteen.
People would argue Born in the USA is a good album, but it's not. It's just a recycle of, you know, what he's done in the past.
That song, The Rising, I want to blow my brains out every time I hear that song.
Well, that's the thing. I can't believe, because after 9/11, when he did The Rising and he did those songs, that to me, that was amazing. And those are beautiful songs, and they're beautifully written.
They're beautiful songs, and I'm going to tell you a story right now about the time I played the Stone Pony in Asbury Park. That's just going to sound like with a mask on.
But here's the thing with Springsteen, what I like about him is that, you know, if you go to a venue of his, you know if he's going to talk about politics or he's not. So there are some people.
Here's how you know, ready? Because he always talks about politics.
No, he doesn't. That's not true.
When does he not?
That's not true. He doesn't at all of his concerts. He doesn't. So you know which ones he's going to talk about politics, or which one is just a straightforward concert.
Oh, that's such a lie. What do we say? He comes out at night. And he goes like this. He goes,
"All right, tonight you're at a political show. So tonight is one of those nights I'm going to talk politics. Check your ticket stub. It's on the back."
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, in the past, his like we knew. The night he was here in Philadelphia, right, the day before the big election 4 years ago, certainly that was a free, you know, it was a free concert. He was here to talk politics. But when you go to most of his concerts,
that's absolutely
he's
not
going to talk about
that
politics.
That is absolutely not true.
You talk politics in everyone.
I've been to,
Dawn,
no,
right?
I've been to way more Bruce Springsteen concerts than you guys have. So I'm just telling you.
Well, who's been to more, you or Chris Christie?
Well, Chris Christie.
Chris Christie's been to every single one.
He probably beats me.
He's never missed one. He's been to every single concert that Bruce has ever played.
Yeah.
Like, Christie was the guy in the back with the long hair in Belmar, New Jersey, back in like 1982. I'm just saying that you want to see and hear the Bruce Springsteen that you love, and so when he starts to talk politics, you go out and get pretzels.
Okay, I admit that's when I go to the bathroom.
Thank you.
So I don't hear it.
Thank you.
But it's a good, because nobody's in the bathroom at that time, so that's good.
But then they belt it through the speakers. I know many of you have gone to the bathroom, so you don't have to hear me pontificate. Little Steven, come here and rub my back. I gotta get some things off my chest. That's just gonna say, you know how painful it's gonna sound with Bruce Springsteen wearing a mask during a political lecture, during a Bruce Springsteen show where he plays terrible music he's made in the last 20 years. Like, Greg, in my defense, Girls in Their Summer Clothes was made when? Long time ago.
Rich, I'm gonna have to challenge you on that. That's actually a newer one of his songs.
Oh, is it?
I think it's like 2004 or something.
It's better than the other crap he's put out in the last 20 years, right?
Agreed.
Girls in their summer masks.
He's popular here. Like, he's very popular in New Jersey, Philadelphia, New York, you know, the Northeast, Boston maybe. But like the rest of the country, I don't think is as in love
he
with him
huge.
As we
know.
I'm not saying he's not huge, but it's not
Chris
like,
Christie's got to drop the whole Springsteen thing if he wants to become president. I'm just telling him right now.
He does not.
He does. He needs to let it go. You know, at these venues, they're only allowing people to come in 25% of the place's capacity.
That's
and
ridiculous.
Barriers must be used between musicians who play wind or brass instruments, meaning every member of the Philadelphia Orchestra's brass section would need their own plexiglass enclosure.
And that would ruin acoustics.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Why don't they just do a COVID test on them instead of putting them behind plexiglass when they perform? Why don't they just do that? Wouldn't that be easier?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Makes too much sense.
I just, you know, if you're on there, you got the saxophone, I get it, but then just test the guy and see if he's got COVID before you put him in there. Don't put him in a plexiglass cage.
By the way, maybe this tour, leave the saxophone player at home. We don't really need
that guy home.
Player, right? Yeah, just honestly, bring the guitar player, the bass player, the drummer, and the singer. We don't need the saxophone.
I think
player.
At everything, what you need to have is you need to have just more cowbell at everything, right?
Yeah, there's nothing that's going to there's no particles that are going to be sprayed during the cowbell parts, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. Now, John Doe on Choice says, I got your back, Greg Stocker. Rich was pandering,
yes,
being all chummy with Chris Christie when he was talking about old McSpringsteen. No, I said I will continue to make fun of him, but I do like some of his songs. I've always said that over the years, and I will continue to make fun of him, even though I can't stand his politics, I do like some of his songs. But you see, with Christie, though, it was my way of trapping him to get him to talk about 2024. Did you see that?
Yes.
My great trap he walked right into. You disarm him with Springsteen, mm-hmm. and then he was able to start talking candidly about the fact that I think we can all agree he's running for president in 2024. Hello?
Yeah. Well, he's going to have, you know, 2024 will be interesting, right? Because it'll be Nikki Haley, Tim Scott.
Mm-hmm. But you see, I lulled him into that trap
of
talking about what he's familiar with Springsteen. And he goes, oh, and that's Mary Pat's favorite song. I knew that, too. And then I got him to admit that he was all comfortable. And then I said, so what's going to play in the convention hall in New Hampshire, huh? And then he said, right?
Yep.
He's running.
And he said, you know, I'm still in my 50s. I'm still, yeah. So he was like, I have big ambitions still. I was like,
I believe the actual quote was, when all these old geezers die, I'm only 57. I believe it's what he said.
He made a specific point about this being the last generation for baby boomers to run for president.
Yes.
Which he's right. Didn't say about them dying.
I know that you fellow old geezers like me are all going to die, but my music will live on forever behind this mask.
Bruce Springsteen's going to be more unlistenable now behind that mask when he goes on with his politics and his lectures, don't you think?
Yes. Just a Bob Dylan.
No, it's the art of the trap. I'm going to write my book, The Art of the Trap. I lull them like a spider into being comfortable, and then I bring on the question, and then they're in my clutches at that point. All right. I want to turn to Eric Trump, the executive vice president of the Trump Organization, in just a second. But I want to thank Cherry Hill Volvo for that check-in on social media where relationships matter. Go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. And I want to remind you that FanDuel has got you covered with all the action. FanDuel Sportsbook, they have now plus 2,500 odds on all of the NBA playoff teams to make the playoffs. So if you you do that, and then you could actually do very, very well with FanDuel Sportsbook, now in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Check them out. The app is easy to use. You can download it for free, of course. Just go to FanDuel.com/rich and put in my name so they know I sent you. FanDuel.com/rich. You do that, and you'll have a great time doing that as well. FanDuel Sportsbook has more ways to win. And with the plus 2,000 odds on any team to make the NBA Finals, you just can't lose. Just pick any team. I mean, if you do lose, it's okay because you're a first-time user. You're covered. Then bet $10 for your chance to win $200 if they make it. And this offer is available on all the favorite teams like the Bucks and the Lakers. So the ball is in your court. FanDuel.com/rich. FanDuel Sportsbook. There's more ways to win. You must be 21 and older. Present in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Max bonus $200. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I thought Eric Trump's speech last night was excellent. Eric, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on a great job last night. You did a really, really excellent excellent presentation last night.
No, thank you very much. Last night was a great night. A lot of great speeches, and I think we hit it out of the park. And you watch the contrast, and listen, I'm a civilian. I'm not a politician. In fact, I hate most politicians, Rich. You know that. We've spoken about this about a million times. So you look at the contrast between kind of the person who's speaking at this convention versus, you know, kind of the career politician that's speaking at the other one. You know, last night we had this guy from Maine who was a lobster fisherman who was incredible and, you know, was talking about how, you know, the policies of the administration single-handedly saved, you know, an industry. And then tonight there's a logger from Minnesota who's, you know, kind of doing the same. And, you know, these are real hardworking Americans who actually get their hands dirty. And then you look at the other convention and you get to see Nancy Pelosi, who's been in office for 50 years. I mean, it's there's a big dichotomy between the two, but we felt really good about last night. And it was, I just think, awesome. I think it turned out awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a home run night. I really do. It was just one of the best nights of any convention I've seen in a very, very long time. I like how you talked about ending all these endless wars. I like how you talked about the cancel culture in this country and how it tries to silence people. I thought both of those points you made were also very effective last night.
Yeah, and listen, you saw cancel culture. Look what they do with, you know, Nicholas Sandman, who spoke last night. And we have. I mean, my father, it was kind of funny. If you remember back to 2015, oh, Trump's going to get into endless wars. My father's been, he's been actually pretty amazing, right? He goes, I want to have the greatest military that the world has ever had. And I don't want to use it unless we absolutely, absolutely have to. And then when we use it, we're not going to do one of these Iraq or Afghanistan type things. We're not going to go sit in a country in the middle of the desert and send our men and women over there for 20 years. We're going to go in. We're going to hit them so hard that they don't know what happened. And then we're going to leave 2 days later after, you know, we were victorious. And, I mean, he just thinks about this very, very differently. You know, I mean, I would see them spend, you know, $1 trillion, $2 trillion. I think they ended up spending 7 or 8 over in Iraq alone, $7 or $8 trillion. And I'd always look at my father and he'd be shaking his head. He'd say, why aren't we using that money for our own country? Why aren't we rebuilding our schools? Why aren't we rebuilding our roads and our infrastructure? I mean, could you imagine if we would have invested, you know, that in our country's infrastructure and things that mattered to us versus blowing it away in some desert over a, you know, 20-year period of time. And it drove him crazy. And, you know, not that you don't need to be prepared. He wants to be more prepared than anybody. But, again, if you have to go in, he wants to hit so hard, and then he wants to get the hell out. And, I think politicians of the past especially, you know, just haven't thought that way.
You know, Eric Trump, I really liked last night how you brought Pittsburgh into it, because I was thinking about you got to win Pennsylvania again. I think your dad will win Pennsylvania again. But you know, I like when you said their so-called leaders were bowing to China, bribing Iran, and spending more time worrying about how they were received by the elites in Paris than how Americans would provide for their families in Pittsburgh. I thought that was just a really good contrast there.
And you know what? Substitute any city in there. But it's true. I mean, look at the Paris Climate Accord, where America is paying for the environmental problems of the entire world. I mean, you know, literally the entire world. And we're expected to. We're not even thanked for it, Rich. You know, that's a problem. I mean, we're expected to. It's no different than NATO. It's no different than so many other things. You know, the World Health Organization, we're ripped off. And, you know, they were. I mean, look at, I just came back from Wisconsin the other day. Now, it's Wisconsin's the state that Biden would have to win, right? It's the state that Hillary had to win. The guy hasn't been there in 660 days, and that's where his convention is. The Democrats call these, and I said it last night, they call it flyover country. I mean, if you're not in New York, Washington, D.C., and when I'm talking about New York, I'm not talking about upstate. I mean, that's flyover country for them as well. But if you're not in New York City, Los Angeles, or Washington, D.C., you know, you're in a quote-unquote flyover state. I think it's the most demeaning term, and they really mean that. And when Biden has his – he's supposed to have the DNC in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, and he doesn't show up for 660 days, he hasn't been there for over 2 years at this point. I mean, it's demeaning. And the same thing is true of Pittsburgh, and the same thing is true of, you know, so many cities in Pennsylvania and Ohio and, you know, all over the Rust Belt. I mean, they've ignored these places. It's why my father won. I mean, they've absolutely ignored them because, you know, these weren't the elites. These were hardworking Americans who wanted to live the American dream and loved red, white, and blue. You know, and they were totally forgotten about. And it was a forgotten man and woman that actually got my father elected.
Eric, what was it like delivering an address virtually last night versus what it was like when you walked out on stage at the convention back in 2016?
Well, in 2016, and Amy, you covered this very well, and we were speaking back then. I think I did your show, in fact, right after that one as well. You know, but that was a pretty incredible thing. I mean, we had 25,000 people in a room. You walk out, and you know, there's 35 million people watching on TV, and you know, no one really knew who we were. I mean, people knew who we were clearly, but not from a political standpoint. And we were young and green, and we were trying to figure out the whole political system. I mean, that was our first rodeo. Remember, you know, this is not the world that we came from. It's not what we do every single day. It was very foreign to us, and you know, so there was kind of a novelty to it that was pretty incredible. And then, when you look at the beauty of last night, though, I mean, I wish everybody, and I think everybody got an appreciation of the shots, but Mellon Auditorium is one of the most beautiful rooms I've ever seen in my life, and you see the majesty of this room, these, you know, granite columns, and you know, it was very different than the DNC. You look some of the scenes from the DNC. There's one guy who was sitting there on couch with beach towels in the background with guitars. You know, it looked like he had, you know, the person had like more minor hoarding syndrome. You know, basically. And I'm sitting there saying, that's fine, like, to each their own, Rich, but, like, you know, you are running for, you know, this is a presidential convention. I mean, this is a representation of America. And when you watch a DNC, no, I mean, look, you had Kasich sitting on a pebble pathway that had a little fork in it, and there were weeds growing out of the ground, right? And then, you know, no American flags anywhere to be found. And then, right. you kind of look at what we put on last night, and it's American flags all over and red, white, and blue in really kind of a majestic place that really represents the best of who we are as Americans and builders. And I just thought it was a beautiful setting. So very different, to answer your question, very different, but both incredible.
Eric, you also talked last night about the success your dad has had with fighting terrorism. And you mentioned that. You mentioned the Moab. You mentioned killing some of the leaders in the Islamic world, the Islamic terrorism world. And I think it's fascinating how he's managed to do that without putting us into endless wars. He's trying to get us out of these endless wars. And I think you laid out that point very effectively last night, that he's doing what he has to do, but he's done even more on the terrorist front than people give him credit for.
You know, one of the first stories he told me when he got into office, Rich, and it's kind of like inside baseball, and, you know, he's told it publicly now, so I will, but, you know, he had a general that went up to him, and he said, you know, sir, whatever you do, you know, don't get into any conflicts, because we as a country are almost out of ammunition. I mean, think about that. You know, the military, wow. You know, stockpiles for military ammunition were so low, and same thing with bombs and, you know, the missiles that, you know, shoot off the drones and things like that, and because you got to be, you know, you probably use the F word, right, but you've got to be kidding me. What you mean? The U.S. military is out of quote-unquote ammo, and yes, our stockpiles are totally depleted. They never filled them up in the last administration. He goes, listen, you better get cranking, and, you know, sure enough, we have more than we've ever had right now, times 10. But this is literally what they told him day one. But, I mean, these guys weren't letting our military servicemen and women, who are the best in the world, do their jobs. And the first thing my father did when he got in there, he took off the handcuffs. Guess what? You know, there's some bad guy out there. Like, why are you calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? Go take him, you know, go take that person out. And he demonstrated that time over time, and he has no credit for taking out the entire ISIS caliphate. I mean, all you heard about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was ISIS. You know, when was the last time anybody's heard of ISIS or, you know, any of these terrorist organizations? And They forget about it because they knew how effective he was. I mean, he let, you know, the men and women of the military do what they do best, and that's, you know, kill these people and take them out because they're pure evil. They hate our way of life, and he's gotten very, very little credit for it. I mean, even so much, Rich, that last night, you know, I mentioned the MOAB. Remember, he dropped a big bomb on that big insurgent camp. It took off a whole top of the mountain, and sure enough, it was on, like, the breeding grounds for terror. There were Democratic operatives last night on Twitter criticizing me, saying, oh, well, the MOAB wasn't that effective. I'm like, why don't you ask the people who were on the ground? You know, why don't you ask that, you know, the people in the terrorist camp whether or not the MOAB was, you know, was effective? But, you know, he's handled terrorism very, very differently than any other president. And, again, he unshackled the military, and they did their job, and they do it better than anybody in the world. And guess what? You haven't heard about ISIS in years now.
Well, listen, I know you got to run. I appreciate your time today. I just want to say real quick, I really enjoyed how you ended the speech by saying, I want to speak directly to my father, and how you said you miss working alongside him. I know that you and Laura are putting your heart and soul and your family into this reelection of your dad. So we appreciate it. Eric Trump, thanks for coming on the show again today. I look forward to having you back very soon, my friend. Thank you.
Can't wait, Rich. You take care.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, 855-839-1210. If you want to weigh in on all of these issues today, feel free to do so. You know, I just want to mention, too, as we're obviously this week is it's a lot of the coverage of the RNC. And that's, you know, that's what we do on the show. We roll with that. We did last week was mostly the coverage of the DNC. This is how we've been operating for we did this 4 years ago. And we do it now. And I imagine we'll probably do it in four more years. So it's kind of always fun. But for many of you, I know you've told me, you've said that you don't even watch sometimes. You just wait to hear me give you a lot of the stuff on that, which is cool. Although I think for the RNC, you probably watched. The DNC, you probably just waited for me to watch and suffer through that. But I think you probably watched the RNC last night. I have a feeling that you did. 855-839-1210. Let's say good morning to Dawn and check in. Good morning, Dawn.
Hey, good morning. 70 degrees. This is Wednesday, August 26th. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News Live. So New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says, talk to contract tracers. He says more than 50% of residents, you are refusing to cooperate with those contact tracers in the fight against COVID-19. He says the state is not trying to engage in a witch hunt, so just talk to them. That's his message, very strongly put.
If I got to choose between talking to a contact tracer or talking to Phil Murphy, I'll pick a contact tracer every day of the week, just for the record.
Governor Phil Murphy revealing his new revised budget. He's calling for $1.1 billion in new taxes, offsetting the impact, he says, of the pandemic. Murphy's tax hikes and new taxes target millionaires, cigarette smokers, gun, yacht, and limo buyers. Governor Murphy's budget borrows $4 billion, but it's going to make its scheduled pension payment of nearly $4.9 billion. That's more than 10% of the entire budget. Murphy, by the way, addressed lawmakers at Rutgers University's football stadium. And here's the thing, his image was projected on that huge jumbotron.
Yeah, he looked like Big Brother from the 1984 movie. That's what it looked like.
So do you think he was fulfilling some childhood dream of being on a jumbotron?
Can he fulfill my dream and go see Dr. Mike and get the friggin' smile of his fixed? That may be shallow and petty, but I'm just saying, the guy's worth like $100 million. Like, I would think, like, you know.
In Pennsylvania.
No, Jersey, and the big teeth of chompers, right?
That's a sin.
Why does he think that people that buy yachts, like everybody that services the yacht is a millionaire too, the mechanic's a millionaire, everybody around the yacht people are all millionaires. I mean, there's less yachts, there's less jobs for the yacht guy, right?
That's right. I guess, does he not have a yacht?
Oh, you know he's got a yacht. He probably has a yacht in Italy, probably has a yacht in Germany, right? Probably goes down to stay with John Bon Jovi on his yacht in Florida.
In Florida.
Or at Bon Jovi's New Jersey house, whichever one.
Until it sells. In Pennsylvania, there is a $4.6 billion shortfall, but Governor Tom Wolf says he believes legalizing recreational marijuana will generate enough tax revenue to help fill the gap. Republican lawmakers call it a pipe dream, pun intended.
Well, I think that, you know, it's probably better to try something like that than it is to just tax the hell out of everybody. The reason why Murphy's not proposing it is because he still doesn't have the political support within his own party to get it done, which is amazing.
Yeah.
That's why the guy can only govern by executive decree, because they don't like him and they don't want to support him. And that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So,
RNC day
two. Look at my teeth, New Jersey. Maybe I'll call Dr. Mike Venaria. He won't like me very much either.
Wait, what would you do if you got a call from Dr. Mike Venaria and he said, you won't believe who called? The governor's coming to see me.
Governor's coming in. I'm going to give him some implants and fix that smile of his.
Then you couldn't say anything anymore. You'd have to at least go, well, at least he has a beautiful smile.
Yeah, I would. I would mention that. I'd go, he's a horse's ass, but at least he's got a, you know, a nice smile now, at least, right?
So there were all these stories, and we talk about the Republican National Convention and the First Lady's elegant, just beautiful speech. And so it was obviously in the Rose Garden. And there were all these comments, even published reports, that claimed that she had removed cherry trees planted by former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. So they said, you know, this was yet another insult to George Washington and the country. Melania ordered the cherry tree to be chopped down.
She was chopping them down herself. She chopped them up and burned them for firewood.
It's not true.
Out on the White House lawn last night.
So it's totally fake news. Historians say, first of all, they were crabapple trees, not cherry trees. And many people have thought, so she had them replanted because they had gotten too big and they were too close to that area. So, in other words, they just replanted them, and she redid the Rose Garden.
Because apples were falling on the president's head when he walked from the residence to the Oval Office. Have a crab apple come belting at you. It's true.
But they got to get their trees straight, for crying out loud.
She hates trees. Melania Trump hates trees. Hates them.
Her speech was so elegant.
It's why she left her country. Stop. Because there are too many trees.
By the way, Bette Midler is getting pounded on social media.
By the way, can you not use the term Bette Midler's getting pounded ever again, please? It's just gross. No, she should get pounded.
She's
because she was
racist.
Rude
yeah.
when she said that Melania Trump still can't speak English.
Ouch. She
Very
called her
rude.
An illegal alien. Oh, my goodness. Eric Trump and Zilli have talked a lot about Nicholas Sandman. He was 16 years old at the time when all of that happened to him. It was awful. Parents sued the network news organizations, accusing networks like CNN of using their corporate power and wealth on Nicholas by falsely attacking and vilifying and bullying him, despite the fact he was a minor child. He was 16. So in any event, the bottom line is he just recently turned 18. And so now he can collect the money because, remember, he got settlements from CNN and I think the Washington Post. He has multiple lawsuits out there. So they had a report recently from Kentucky. He can collect the money. It was an undisclosed settlement. But I just would love to know how much he... You know, how much he got.
How much he got. He could probably get a lot, I would think.
Wealthy young man. Pay for college for sure.
You could buy more MAGA hats with it. See that?
Yes, exactly right. By the way, there is a Facebook page called Let the PCL Play. So parents with children in the Philadelphia Catholic League demanding the Archdiocese of Philadelphia reverse yesterday's decision, allow fall sports. So they're planning a huge rally and protest outside the Archdiocese headquarters in Center City. Parents very upset, and they say, look, the parents are saying, look, if you can return to the classrooms in the Catholic schools, why not the athletic fields? So they're having a rally this Friday. Thought I would mention that.
There you go. Good.
Not that I have any bias
no, of course
in any
not.
Sports
yeah, absolutely
football
not, of
stories.
Course.
It's completely,
right.
basically objective.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
And let's get to the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. Gorgeous day today. A lot less humid. You can feel it already. So the high is 83 degrees today, but just breezy and beautiful. No rain. Enjoy it, because tomorrow, not so much. Tomorrow, the heat and humidity will return, and it's going to feel like more than 100 degrees tomorrow with that heat index. So, yeah, enjoy today. Open up those windows. This sponsored by Burlington. Have you been to a Burlington lately? Unbelievable deals on amazing brands and styles, up to 60% off other retailers' prices. No coupons or sales, just fabulous values every single day. Whether it's back to school, work, or just back, you're going to love Burlington. I'm Dawn. This is Zioli Show News Live. We are always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. Dr. Mike Venaria, in all seriousness, is the best dentist that I would recommend for you to get a beautiful smile. If you need those dental implants, Dr. Mike is the man to go see. I've also gotten a lot of notes from people saying that Dr. Mike took them in for a dental emergency, and he was there for them when they needed him. And they appreciate that very, very much, and so will you as well. Dr. Mike is my family's dentist, and he's a great guy, too. He's got two offices to serve you. Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey, minutes over the bridges. Look, when you need something like complicated dental implants, you want to make sure you're going to the absolute best. Don't go to the closest guy. Go to the best. That's Dr. Mike Veneria. And what I really do appreciate, too, is that he takes the time. There's no stress, no anxiety. So whatever reason you may have had to put off getting a new smile, that reason is gone. Go see Dr. Mike today. Schedule your free implant consultation today. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or visit 1210wphc.com/Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Veneria, 856-786-2020 or 1210wphd.com/Dr. Mike.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
A big part of last night was about unity and about bringing people together. But, you know, we've had a lot of talks about how Donald Trump does not want these endless wars. I talked to Jared Kushner about that yesterday. I talked to Eric Trump about that this morning. Last night, Senator Rand Paul also explained that as well. I think Rand Paul did a great job of explaining for a lot of people who are libertarian-leaning conservatives why they are supporting Donald Trump again for another term. Cut 9C.
For those of us who lament the Biden crime bill that locked up a generation of young black men, remember that Biden bragged about a bill that still wreaks havoc among people of color. I'm supporting President Trump because he believes, as I do, that a strong America cannot fight endless wars. We must not continue to leave our blood and treasure in Middle East quagmires. I flew with him to Dover Air Force Base to honor two soldiers whose remains were coming home from Afghanistan. I'll never forget that evening. I can tell you the president not only felt the pain of these families, but that the president is committed to ending this war. President Trump is the first president in a generation to seek to end war rather than start one. He intends to end the war in Afghanistan. He is bringing our men and women home. Madison once wrote, "No nation can preserve its freedom in the midst of continuous warfare." I'm proud to finally see a president who agrees with that. Compare President Trump with the disastrous record of Joe Biden, who has consistently called for more war. Joe Biden voted for the Iraq War, which President Trump has long called the worst geopolitical mistake of our generation. I fear Biden will choose war again. He supported the war in Serbia, Syria, Libya. Joe Biden will continue to spill our blood and treasure. President Trump will bring our heroes home. If you hate war like I hate war, if you want us to quit sending $50 billion every year to Afghanistan to build their roads and bridges instead of building them here at home, you need to support President Trump for another term.
I think that if you are somebody who leans libertarian in your philosophies, especially when it comes to foreign entanglements, I think Rand Paul just laid it out exactly why so many are supporting Trump for a second term because of that. It's very important, I think, and I'm glad he brought all that stuff up. We talked about Nick Sandman earlier. He just a couple quick clips here. Bill, just play if you would F and G back to back for me. This is young Nick Sandman talking about what happened to him after that video went viral. Go ahead.
The full war machine of the mainstream media revved up into attack mode. They did so without researching the full video of the incident, without ever investigating Mr. Phillips' motives, or without ever asking me for my side of the story. And do you know why? Because the truth was not important. Advancing their anti-Christian, anti-conservative, anti-Donald Trump narrative was all that mattered.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I believe we must join a president who will challenge the media to return to objective journalism. And together, I believe we must all embrace our First Amendment rights and not hide in fear of the media or from the tech companies or from the outrage mob either.
I played some of Melania Trump's speech earlier in the show. Cable News, they had some very positive reactions last night. I still think she won the night by far. This is Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper after the speech last night. Cut number five.
She promised that her husband would work for treatments and a vaccine to take care of everyone. It was an important statement on her behalf. And as she and the president leave the Rose Garden to head back towards the residence at the White House, you can see him walking over there now. Jake, it was a very moving speech by her.
I think you have to give her credit for embracing the cause of so many people in this country who are very vulnerable.
Fox News' Dana Perino, who always calls it like she sees it as well, I think her points here are incredibly important. Cut number seven.
When she asked the nation to pause and reflect, she was also not just talking about the future, but she said we have a lot to learn from our past as well. She also spoke directly to mothers. She said that helping children around the world is a moral imperative. And she lights up the room. And I think she can light up the country. I hope that going forward that the country sees more of her, whether it's in the next 4 months or the next 4 years. What a tremendous, tremendous independent woman she is.
Yeah, I agree with her 100%. Melania Trump is a secret weapon and should be used more. CNN's Chris Cuomo is the opposite. He should be used far less. The lesser Cuomo does not understand why so many people of religious faith are backing Donald Trump again. And I think the reason why, of course, is he talks about fighting for them. He fights for them. He fights for the evangelicals to be able to live their life according to the terms of their relationship with their God, not government, what government says about that. And a big frustration for people right now is the fact that they are not allowed to go to church. And that's in the First Amendment, you know, the same right for you to be able to worship your God without the government butting its nose in it is the same thing. It allows you to go out and protest in the streets. Cuomo, the lesser, does not understand that, however. Cut number one.
But I feel badly for him that he believes that that's the world he lives in, that he's being kept from going to church. Why? Because of a pandemic? I want to go to church. I miss going to church. I understand there's a pandemic. You know who else does? My priest understands it. Oh, but you can protest. One has nothing to do with the other. You are dealing with people who are responding in this country to outrageous acts of social injustice. Mm-hmm. To say, well, it's the same as going to church. No, it isn't.
You
told people they couldn't protest. If you invoked martial law about these types of situations, you would have chaos. Mm-hmm. And he knows it. So it's sad that he feels that he has to stoke this kind of animus in this country.
So in other words, if you tell people they can't protest, they're gonna protest even more and there's going to be chaos. But when you tell people they can't go to church, you know they're just going to listen because it's the rules and they're just going to go home. I mean, isn't that what he's saying? That protesters who, if they're not allowed to protest, they'll turn violent and destroy America. But when you tell people not to go to church, they get it. They understand. They go home nice and peacefully in their homes, and they pray over their table. Hey, moron, listen, your right to worship, your right to protest, the government can't stop them because they like the cause, because they justify the cause. That's exactly what you're advocating for right there. You're advocating for the government to be able to say, well, this cause or this protest is so important, therefore, we're going to let it happen in a pandemic. But we, the government, don't think the cause of you going to a house of worship and practicing your faith among other like-minded people, which is part of your faith, we don't think that's important, so we're not going to allow that. And you're okay with the government picking and choosing. You're okay with the government deciding what's important and what's not, selectively choosing which rights are okay and which rights aren't. That is absolutely unacceptable and absolutely antithetical to the Bill of Rights. You know, because another president might come around and say, I'm sorry, but I don't think protesting is safe. And unlike going to church, where we know everybody and we can contact trace, can't contact trace at a protest. So I don't care what the cause is. No protests, only going to church. Imagine how the left would react with that, huh? But you see, I wouldn't support that any more than I should support that, because that would be just as wrong. But isn't it something how the left is so hypocritical, right? I mean, theoretically speaking, it's easier to figure out who was in a church for a Sunday mass than it is to figure out who was at a protest, because you don't check in at a protest, not that you necessarily check in at church, but people usually all know each other at church for the most part. But be that as it may, it's not about really the pandemic, of course. It's about the fact that people like Cuomo, the lesser, with his mindset, they don't really believe that going to church is really that important, you know? But again, it's not up for the government to make that decision. It's up for you to make that decision. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. All right, we got a lot more show ahead for you, a lot more stuff to cover, and we're going to check in with the White House in just a few minutes as well. The economy was also center stage last night. Very quickly, I want to play for you. Larry Kudlow last night talked about the economy coming back. I still believe it's the economy, stupid. I don't think that has changed in any way, shape, or form. Clip E.
Our economic health is coming back. With emergency spending and tax cuts, Americans are going back to work. There's a housing boom. There's an auto boom, a manufacturing boom, a consumer spending boom. Stocks are in record territory. A V-shaped recovery is pointing to better than 20% growth in the second half of this year.
All right. There you go. Now, since the economy is, in fact, picking up, and I know it is, go see my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. They are right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. In fact, Judith Krupnik told me recently that they're looking to hire. So, and they love certainly hiring veterans. But Cherry Hill Volvo is a wonderful place to buy a luxury car. It's a luxury car buying experience every step of the way. And what I really think is true, too, with Cherry Hill Volvo is that they're not interested in pressuring you to buy a car. If the car is not right for you, it's not right for you. That's how it goes. But I think you're going to agree the car is, Cherry Hill Volvo cars are just absolutely the best. So go see them today. They've got incredible incentives, like how does 0% financing on a 2020 Volvo sound? Pretty good, right? How about new lease incentives? And how about returning customer incentives? There's all kinds of great incentives. And the management team at Cherry Hill Volvo, they make all the sales decisions. That's right. I say it all the time, but Judith Krupnik and her team, they are the best at Cherry Hill Volvo. They open at 9 a.m. They're right on Route 70, minutes over the bridge, and so worth the drive. You deserve a luxury car buying experience when you are buying a luxury car. So go see them. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.